Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
And we noticed as we travelled around the country last week, we met some intriguing and fascinating men who with stories to tell about their lives, and they really resonated with a lot of listeners around the country on those mornings. And we have another such man with us this morning in Cork called Jamie Goss. Good morning, Jamie. It's nice to say hello to you.
How's it going, Ryan?
Thanks for coming in to see us, and thanks for organising the sunshine, because it's looking a bit grey there for a while.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. I think you were 15 when you started having a few drinks.
Yeah, I was 15, and I think the majority of teenagers, they kind of start off around that age, and it's just kind of like to fit in, to blend in with the crowd, like, and it was just every weekend. Then, like, after school, we made plans in school, like, and I was playing with, hurling, and I was mad into the GA and all that, but I started getting dropped from the team then after I was either not turning up for training after being hungover, or it's not going to the matches because I was going out.
Yeah.
But, after that, then it's, I kind of, when I make a long story short, the drink just turned me off. It's just completely stopped everything.
Yeah, but the drink became the main interest in life rather than anything else.
Yeah.
Typically then into your late teens, what was sort of drinking were you doing?
I got an operation when I was 17, and that was on my chest.
Yeah.
And it was like a reconstruction of my chest, so they had to practically break all my ribs, saw away a bit of my breastbone, and I mean the pain was, it was crazy, like, and like the painkillers I was on they were wearing off, I was getting too used to them.
Yeah.
But then I turned on to the drink and I practically kind of just numbed myself, and I just started getting too dependent on that then.
Yeah.
And
Did it work in the sense that did it stop the pain?
It stopped the pain, yeah.
But what sort of level of drinking did you have to do to stop the pain and keep it consistent?
Every night, and I drink about 8 cans of cider a night, and which is pretty dangerous, really. Like, but I just, towards the last 8 or 9 months of it, I blocked myself out from the world completely.
Did you?
Yeah, and I just came into my own bubble, and I wouldn't barely talk to anyone, and I was practically like a zombie, I could say. I wouldn't talk to anyone, and wouldn't talk to any of the friends. Like, they'd ask me to come out for a few drinks, and I'd say no. So no, I just blocked myself out completely.
Why did you do that?
I just fell into a rut. It was the drink, as we all know, the drink is a depressant, and
yeah,
I just fell into a rut. And
yeah.
I mean, like, I used to get my hair cut every 2 weeks, and I didn't get my hair cut in that space of 8 months. Just let myself go completely, and it was just a bad time.
So physically, literally, you could see you were breaking down a little bit,
yeah.
and mentally you probably weren't in the best of shape anyway.
No, I was all over the place. Physically, like, I dropped down to like 8 stone or something. That's when I got weighed in the hospital, and like, but my face was puffed out and everything, and I looked pictures back of like last year, and the difference of what I look like, I'm kind of like ashamed of what I look like. It was like, they were just bad times. It was a rush, but I'm glad I came.
But you were sick, you see, so you can't be ashamed, really, it was just a bad time for you.
Yeah.
And you were in a bad place. I mean, if you're on 8 cans of cider a night or whatever it is, you're going to be sick the next day, and then you're going in for another 8 cans.
Yeah.
It's like, it's relentless, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, I lost, I wasn't exercising at all either, so I'd no energy. I could barely move. I was just in a rut, and it was just dark, really dark time. Like,
and was it expensive to fund that boozing? I mean, that's a lot of booze. So how do you fund it?
Practically, it was on the door, like, and
yeah,
I was spending on that, and it cost me about 10 to 12 euro a night.
Yeah,
and But towards the end of when I was coming out of it, it used to take me about 8 or 9 hours to drink, maybe even 6 cans. I just couldn't do it anymore, But
you were still going.
I was still going. I was trying to get.
Even though you didn't particularly enjoy the experience.
No, it was just something I felt like I needed to do just to get to block the pain.
Yeah.
So
that's going to wear off, though, isn't it? The fact that you drink, when you were drinking that much, it's not going to have an effect on you anymore, isn't it, after a while?
What, the pain?
Or the numbing of the pain, you know?
I'm still in pain to this day, but...
Are you?
I just have different ways of dealing with it now, and, if I'm sitting still for too long, I'd have to go for a walk or something, and just get exercise. But just once I'm not stuck in the same position, because that's when I used to be done when I was drinking, I was just stuck sitting down. Constantly.
Doing nothing. What happened on Mother's Day last year?
It was March 31st. That fearful day.
Yeah.
I was getting sick, but I wasn't drinking for 2 nights before that.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was withdrawals or something, but I was vomiting. And I was vomiting for hours, and I was just sipping away in water, but it kept coming up. But then blood started coming up as well with it. And I text my mum. I didn't even talk to my mum yet that day. Like, it was about 7 o'clock at night. I text her. I said, "Mum, I'm getting sick blood." So she came up and she seen it. And I was just trying to relax her because I was drinking Ribena as well as the water. And I was just saying, "Look, it's a bit Ribena as well." Like, but it started getting heavier. The vomiting started getting more aggressive. Then it was just time to go. I had to go to the hospital. So my brother's girlfriend came down, brought us to the hospital. I was getting sick every 5 minutes, maybe. I got sick twice on the way up to the hospital, and it was just aggressive, painful. I mean, it ripped the throat off me. That's where the blood was actually coming from. Then it was my esophagus was all inflamed, and it was very hard to breathe. It was like there was something caught in my throat, and it was. It was the most painful thing. I felt like there was gas or something just stuck in my throat, and it was just caught there, and it was there for about 2 days. Then they tried to put a camera down my throat to see what the problem actually was. They couldn't fit it down because all the swelling inside the throat. So I had to fast for another 12 hours, and then they finally got the camera down my throat and found out what the problem was, and it was the esophagus was inflamed, and that's where the pain was coming from. They told me that I do need to lay off the drink, so I had to say, "Look, I'm calling there for a while. I have to knock it on the head for a while and start getting my stuff together."
Have you had a drink since?
No. 15 and a half months sober.
How's it going?
It's going good. I actually, when I first went off it, I thought it'd be a bit more of a challenge, but I was in just the mindset that I didn't want to go back to that stage, and I didn't want to put my family through that. I didn't want to, see my, I wanted to go with my friends, I wanted to socialise.
Yeah.
I actually spend more time in pubs now drinking.
Do you?
Yeah.
Drinking what?
Drinking a diluted orange. I don't even drink fizzy drinks anymore.
Yeah.
I actually go out with the lads now, and I go up with them, and just when they start talking nonsense, then that's when I think that I'll go home then. And
was that about 11? 11 o'clock, they start talking, repeating themselves and talking complete nonsense.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, "I hear that's me, guy, I hear you."
Yeah,
because they're just going on a loop that's great anyway, so you're not missing out.
That's the thing, and when I go into the pub, then there's other people in, and I try to avoid eye contact then, so I'm just staring at the telly on, so people won't be coming over. But it's good to get out though as well. Like, it's good to socialise, even though that I'm off it. And that.
How old are you?
22.
So, 22. And going to a pub, it's typical for an Irishman to be out having a few jars, and it's not typical then, and probably not that easy initially, at least, to be going out and everyone else getting locked and you're sitting there looking at them going.
I mean, my first time now when I went to a pub, I went out with my dad, and I was out with my dad, my sister, my brother. It was the 21st, and it was more like I wanted to challenge myself. It was like to see how I do,
How would you cope?
So I stayed there the whole night because I had no way home. But I had about three or four glasses of diluted orange. I was sipping away, and I was just chatting away to them, and they were just telling me, they were like, "Oh, you're 2 weeks off, I know." And I was like, they were asking me how I was finding this. I was like, "Sorry, I'm just taking it one step at a time." Like, but now I'm 15 and a half months sober, and I just feel completely changed, completely different.
What is the nicest benefit of being clean and sober and fit and healthy?
I just think it's just having a clear head and having a new perspective of life, because the way I was looking at life is, I wasn't really looking at it properly. I wasn't embracing everything that was around me. It was
a new pair of eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
And I can see what's happening around me, you know, and it's just amazing what drink could actually do to you and what we're like. It's grand having a few social drinks with people, but then once you start abusing it, then
messy and ugly, and
it's not going to turn out nice.
There's a company, a music company, that that supplies music to Sony Music and Warner. These are big labels, and they like you.
Yeah, Alms International Music Agency. They got to me. It was only in March, and I put up a few compositions that I made at home. You know, I just put them up on SoundCloud and I tweeted a few of them. And
what type of compositions?
Just kind of piano melodies, kind of epic, kind of orchestra, kind of them kind of melodies.
With you rapping?
No, just composition, just producing, just instrumentals.
Oh, themselves. You produced them? Okay.
Yeah, and they took an interest to that. Like, so they emailed me and they were saying like, we're interested in, you know, we're interested in music that you're putting out, and I didn't even know. Like, they said they were monitoring my Twitter for a while, like, and they were interested in what I'm doing, and it's different from like someone from Ireland, you know, making stuff like that, especially at 22.
Yeah.
But I don't know how I developed into it.
You must have a musical head on you. I mean, you love music, clearly.
Yeah, but because like when I was younger, I was always into poetry, and after that, then like I remember I got my first single. It was Tupac Ghetto Gospel, which contained the instrumental of the. Of the single. So I remember I was reaching for the copybook where I had my poetry in, but the instrumental was playing, and I was kind of reading the poetry as it went along, and then I started going to the beat, like. So then I attempted rapping to the beat, and I still remember, like, my first song, I was rapping about a dog. It was a dog getting knocked down by a bus. I was only about 12 or 13 at the time, but it was funny when I'm thinking back now, John, I'm laughing, and it was funny though, with all them thing. But I started gaining recognition then in the community, with people asking me to rap for them for their ringtones and stuff. And
really?
Yeah, they were just like rapping to my phone there as my ringtone, and I was only a young lad, like, so yeah. I was well delighted. And then there was like people out then, like, if they were bushing or drinking in the street, I'd be their entertainment then for the night.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You know, you'd rap away for them.
Yeah, and they'd be like, oh, that's class.
What are you going to do with that skill?
I'm just going to take it one day at a time, and I'm just going to keep making music at the same pace.
Will you perform live?
My agent told me there a couple of weeks ago, if there's a demand for me over in, say, like Japan or something, then I'd have to go over and perform the album.
How'd you feel about that? Because you're a shy guy, aren't you, Jamie?
I'm very shy.
You're a shy guy with a big heart. I can tell. You know, you've got so much. I love that you wrote a poem about the dog that got hit by the bus.
Yeah.
And that you're rapping into Ray Jones. You know, and that you've got this record deal and you've recovered from a pretty horrible place, and you know, life is going well. Now you just need one more gear change to bring you.
Yeah.
To have the confidence to get on stage and be a superstar.
I mean, just taking like one step at a time. Even coming onto the show now is a major step for me.
Is it?
Major
step. Look, you talk for Ireland. Sure, like, do you know what I mean? It's no trouble to you.
I think that's what happens when I'm nervous.
Well, then stay nervous, because it could, you know, fire your energy and the thought process and the talent.
True, but when I was making the album, when I was producing the album, it was about when I was on the drink and, you know, coming off it, and there's like an effect on some. Songs where it sounds like there's a demon talking to me, so I'm kind of like fighting with myself, which was inspired by a couple of Eminem songs, because he does it himself, which kind of, he recovered out of an addiction, and so I kind of got inspired off that.
So the good guy and the devil and the angel are talking through, like, rap.
Yeah, as we're kind of like fighting with each other.
Yeah,
and,
okay, but
that's what the album was about. But I didn't think that it was going to go up on iTunes and Amazon and Spotify and Google. It went all over the world, like, and I was just in shock, because I wanted to put up a free download, and just that's it. Like, you know, I was not expecting this.
Yeah.
But it's just been a crazy couple of months now. It's just things have been happening so fast that I couldn't take them in, you know, properly. Yeah. It's just flying right past me. But it's,
don't let it fly right past you now. You have to hang on to it.
Yeah, but I'm trying to have just go and
get in
fast.
There and keep. Who's this lady here looking at us here?
That's my mother.
Your mother.
Yeah.
She's the proudest woman in Cork, I think, looking at you today.
I think so.
She's got the front row seat here in Cork, smiling and nodding. So
after what I put her through, anyway, I think that this woman deserves the, not a medal, a trophy. Just she deserves the best of everything. I mean, for what I put her through, and I says to her all the time that I'm sorry and I apologise, and I won't be here for as a few. And I love her so much, like, and she's just practically stood by me all the time. And it was, if it wasn't her, then I wouldn't be there, because she was just my inspiration, like. So
do you want to stop making her cry now? Because, I mean, she's here in the shop, and she just blew a kiss to say well done, and it's a real sweet.
I tell her that every day, but she doesn't cry, like, I don't know.
Maybe you needed to tell her in front of more people.
Yeah.
But I can understand where you're coming from. It's a lovely tribute to a good woman, I have no doubt about that. It's been good talking to you.
Yeah, you too, Ryan.
We'll be seeing more of you, I suspect.
Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah. Where can people go to find you online?
I'm on Twitter as Jamie Goss. That's J-A-M-I-E-G-O-S. And I'm on Facebook as Jamie Goss Producer.
Jamie Goss Producer.
Yeah, and SoundCloud is Jamie-Goss. And that's where you can find some of the compositions and some instrumentals, like rap beats now and all that, that I just compose myself, which other people could. Like, I'm also making music with the violinist of Alicia Keys
So you're really moving on up.
Yeah, but I was with her now for the past year, and she jumped on a couple of instrumentals for me, and she's actually really talented. Her name is Marissa Licata, and she, like, done tour now with Alicia Keys and a load of big names, Stevie Wonder and everything. Like, so I mean, even to have her in studio, like, when I see videos of her on my beat playing and she's recording, it's just, it's amazing. It's like,
It's all deserved. Let's take some texts. Well done to that man. He should be so proud of himself. I'll be 10 years sober on Saturday and stopped when I was 23. It's tough.
Well done.
There's no doubt, but the alternative doesn't bear thinking about. Life won't ever be perfect, but at least you're able to actually live it. Yeah. Another says, fair play being able to go on the radio and tell your story. It's heartbreaking hearing about someone so young having an addiction to alcohol. This sounds exactly like my ex. He's also an alcoholic and lost his job, same as you. It's just like hearing him listening to you talk. Best of luck with it all, and great to hear you're doing so well.
And Lutheran
says, welcome to Cork. As you, that's not related to what we've been talking about, Jamie, but there's loads in on your story.
Yeah,
a lot of people very full of admiration for what you've been saying.
I really thank him. I mean, just very kind and generous. I mean, I do. I mean, that gives me a good boost as well, like, to, for people to say that, so I get a good boost out of it. And it's kind of out of them to say it.
Not at all. Well, listen, good luck with the music.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck with the mammy. Keep an eye on her.
I will, of course.
And thanks for coming to see us today. You did really well, I have to say.
Cheers,
yeah, it's nice to see you. Jamie Goss joining us live here in the window of Easons on Patrick Street in the county of Cork, in the city of Cork.